Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Today, I have an intriguing conversation with Dr. Susan Gullion, and Dr. Susan is with the Joyful Life Center. She is here to share about SRI. And what is SRI, you might ask? It is somatorespiratory integration. She's going to talk about what this is, how you can use it, and learn even more about it after we're done with the interview. Dr. Susan has a long and involved history and experience with this work. So not only does she teach it and use it in her practice, but she was also, as you will learn in our conversation, that she was around and helped in its development as well. So just to give you a little background, I had the opportunity to both meet and work with Susan when she came here to Duluth, Minnesota, and spent a week filling in at Dr. Laura Hill's practice while Laura was out for training. And you might remember, if Dr. Laura's name sounds familiar, that we had her on the podcast June 26th and episode 35. So if you hear that reference, you know where to go back to gain a little more of that connection. During the week, we had an opportunity to work with Susan and with SRI. Dr. Susan, like Dr. Laura, is a network spinal analysis practitioner. So she integrates the SRI work with the network analysis when she works with her patients. So I just want to be clear about something. These two modalities, SRI and network spinal analysis, do not have to go together. So you can do them individually, but those who do them together say that they have a pretty powerful synergistic effect when they go hand in hand. And Susan's going to explain that a little bit more while we share about how to work with her or SRI on its own. We'll give you the details of how to connect with her a little later on, but just to let you know where she is working with people, she works with people in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Minneapolis, as well as Verroque, Wisconsin, but she will soon be relocating to Massachusetts. She is available at all of those locations, but she's also available via Skype and FaceTime and the telephone, as well as in person to teach seminars anywhere in the world. I just want to quickly share my experience with this, though it is very limited, depending on how you equate limited. I have worked a couple hours with Susan, and I have worked a little bit with Laura during her actual entrainment sessions. So the 2 hours that I had with Susan, one of them was fairly intense and surprisingly emotional from the work that this is. It's very subtle work. And by subtle, I mean very non-invasive and physically passive for you, the person who's practicing it. So one thing happened, and I'm just going to mention this because if the credit is due here, it's a pretty cool thing. I have nothing else to attribute it to, so I'm just going to toss it out there. One of the things that I've noticed since I worked with Susan is that my cravings have shifted. And this kind of came a little bit to light when we were actually doing this interview conversation when she was talking about this. I had noticed it. I was very aware of it happening prior to our conversation, but it was like, well, interesting. Maybe this is from that. And if so, let's keep going. I noticed that my cravings are less. It's the desire to make healthier choices instead of sort of a little bit of work. And so, you know, when celery and carrots and kale and all of that stuff are just like, yep, that's what I want. That's a beautiful thing. So that's just been a little interesting shift that, like I said, don't have anything else to contribute it to. So if it's due to this work, that's pretty amazing and I will happily take it. And I'm definitely interested in exploring more and keeping this train going, right? I can all use a little help. Two more things before we dive in. I just want to quickly acknowledge, if you are following the podcast, yes, I absolutely know that I have been interviewing a lot of chiropractors lately, and I take opportunities as they come. And I feel really fortunate to have run into some of the folks that I've run into. And if you're listening to the podcast, you will know that they all have very different things to say. They practice differently, and they're all very different conversations. So know that my podcast isn't turning into the chiropractic podcast. However, that would be really interesting. It's not necessarily the goal, but it is highlighting how different and varied these folks are and some of the pieces, the varied pieces that they have to bring to the table. So, like I said, if you're listening, Dr. Kyle and Dr. Laura, their practices are very different, our conversations are different. And then talking to Dr. Susan, again, we're talking about SRI. So connected, but also very different. So I hope you have a chance to listen to each of them and grab all of the unique nuggets they have to offer. The last housekeeping thing, a few times during the interview, you're going to hear her computer alerts go off. And about 23 minutes into the interview, she had a call come in, and I certainly edited everything out, but I just wanted to say, if you hear some weird tones, you're not hearing things, it's all good. Let's head into our conversation with Dr. Susan.
Hi.
Hi, thank you, and welcome to our conversation. I'm so excited to be talking to you and learn more about this myself. So let's start off with a basic description of SRI, which is somatorespiratory integration, right?
Yes.
So yeah, let's hear about what it is kind of on a basic level, and then what brought you to working with this and having such a proficiency with it?
Well, Dr. Donald Epstein, who is the founder and developer of Network Spinal Analysis Chiropractic Care, I started with him in 1991 with seminars that I took to learn his work. And a couple of years into that process, he began to see patterns of people's healing process, where they would breathe a certain way or move a certain way or say things specifically to the level of consciousness or healing that they were going through. And from that patterning, he was able to create what's called the 12 Stages of Healing book. And at the time, I had just stepped into Donald's practices when he stepped out. I bought his practice in Brooklyn, New York, and I was working very closely with him. And so we helped him to explore the ranges of this new work and to help him write the book back in 1992, 1993. So I was one of the original people who helped to develop the SRI work and then taught that at Transformational Gates and different healing programs that Donald holds for the network chiropractic practice members and doctors who are learning the work. So I've always been very integral in bringing this work to people since I was there as sort of at the beginning when it came out of his beautiful creative mind. So it was just right there. I mean, I didn't have to go to it. It actually came to me.
So pretty cool.
Which is great because it was a powerful way to help those people who were in network care to help themselves become more aware of what was happening for them and also to help them have a tool to use themselves to connect more deeply and to get the wisdom from their process on the table in the office. So they would have something when they left and went home or anywhere they went to take their own hands to choose to breathe, to choose to pay attention and to receive wisdom from that process. So it did come to me, actually. I think it just came to me.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is nice when life works like that, you know?
Exactly. Yes. And then it feels good and you can, and it sounds like you really blossomed from there in just your ability to see it and help create it and help hone in on what it is and how it all works.
Yes. Yes.
What a beautiful thing. So in the description of helping people understand what this actually is and what it looks like, you kind of described it in your, and maybe you can elaborate on this a little bit, in it is about breathing, it's about paying attention to your breath, it's about paying attention to what your body is doing during that breathing. What else can you say to help people understand it?
Well, when you put together your touch to your body with your own hands and the breath and the focused attention, when you put those three things together, there's an instantaneous awareness by your brain to pay attention. So it's really important in this work. We've always said that SRI is not breath work. It's pay attention work. Mm. And it's really designed, and its power is really in allowing those three things, the touch, breath, and movement, and awareness, the focus, to bring that attention to your prefrontal cortex of your brain, which is that part of your brain that brings you into the present moment, so that we can come out of the defense of the nervous system, the fight or flight mechanism of the past. And we can also allow ourselves to not always be worrying in the future, or wondering how it's going to be, and getting, you know, all wound up in that way. When we touch, breathe, and move, we're here in this moment with what is. And when we're with what is, and our brain knows about it, it sends signals to relax the muscles, the tissues, the nerves, to allow your whole physical body to come to peace. But it also just so happens to allow us to feel more of what we actually feel, to observe what we think, to see how we're taking action in life or not, as the case may be. So it allows us to really see how we're being in life by this simple act.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
It is so powerful, which is why I love to share it with everyone.
And it's interesting when you're talking about breath and the paying attention, and I think of how much we hear about how powerful our breath is, but we don't so much hear, we do hear a little bit, I think, in the paying attention that does, you know, often come when we discuss breathing. But this is really, really focusing on the breath and how powerful the breath is. And then, like you say, combining that with the attention is so much where we get the experience and the feeling. And this work, from what I've been reading, is very much encouraging us to feel whatever it is, to not think through our emotions so much, but really to feel them and walk through that.
Yes. And, you know, initially when you begin, depending on where you are in your process of being awake, your process of wanting to be aware, if you're just beginning the SRI work or the network here, you might initially just, the first, very first rhythm and the very first touch and very first breath might be more about, where is my body? You know, and what does my body feel like? Does it feel tight? Does it feel loose here? Can I take a breath in? Does it feel hard to breathe here? It can be some really simple awarenesses initially. And those simple just acknowledgments that, wow, in this place I might feel disconnected here. Mm-hmm. Where in this place, it might feel like nothing's working. I can't even hardly take a breath here. I can't even keep my attention on this part of me. Mm-hmm. Those things are immediate feedback to your nervous system, to your brain, that a part of you has been overwhelmed or checked out in some way. And the second you say that, the second you have that moment where the breath, the movement, the touch, and the focus, they all come together in that moment, you know, a light goes on, an awareness comes in, and we may not even know right away what that awareness is, and that's totally fine. The beauty of this work is that the healing happens, whether we know it or not right away. And at some point, we will know it, and we'll go, wow, I didn't even know that. And that's why we call initial care, discover care, because we're discovering something we may have forgotten about, or we may discover something that's brand new about ourselves in that moment. And it changes everything. It helps us to resource energy to go to connect with that energy in that moment, that place, and then to go forward from that.
While I'm thinking about this, I'm just thinking about your statement of when you notice something, just sort of calling it out. And is it helpful? And I know this is kind of a detail of the work, but is it helpful to speak it aloud rather than just notice it, but actually really call it through our language?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Judy, because when you make that declaration, you're speaking what it feels like in that moment. And you hear yourself. So the words form in your brain, and then they come through the voice and the mouth, and then you hear, and it goes back in through your own ears, through your own body, to your own being, to really listen to, in that moment, what did I actually say? Because a lot of times when we keep things inside, we can run from them pretty easily, you know? We can hide pretty easily. But when we bring that awareness from the inside out, and we're able even to make a sound or to say a word or to express even just the basic declaration, sometimes it feels like nothing works or sometimes I feel disconnected, it can really create a pattern shifter in your nervous system just from hearing that. Now, that's just the first rhythm. So the 12 stages of healing obviously has 12 rhythms, 12 stages. Mm-hmm. Each of those rhythms has a, you know, has a different breath pattern associated with it that helps your nervous system to access the energy inherent in that rhythm. So the first three are just an in the nose out the mouth breath, say, and just touching certain areas of your body, breathing into them and really listening. What does this part of me feel like right now? What do I know about this part right now? And it may feel like, ugh, or it may feel just, I can't feel anything there, or numb, or I feel a lot of energy there. It feels joyful. I feel happy in this part, you know? And that's just the first step, is to begin to give a voice and discover the different voices you have. And as you move through these rhythms, you begin to allow those voices to communicate, to have a conversation. And you can really see where we get slowed down in life, or where the energy isn't happening in life, is where there may be some disagreement inside in that communication, or there may be a stuckness, the third rhythm. We may feel stuck somewhere in life. We may feel stuck in our body somewhere, physical tissues, in the muscles, the bones. And that creates dialogue. And whether or not we're aware of that dialogue and energetic is still being lived out in life. And so as soon as we're aware of something, we can begin to shift it and change it and participate with life. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than thinking that we're a victim of life or that life is happening to us, we have the realization that life is always happening for us. Mm.
I had a thought. Let me see if I can grab it back.
It's a powerful statement. So a pause is very powerful too. Take that in and feel that, like, oh, things that are happening that may not be easy, may not be something we expected or wanted, they're always for us. They're always to help us wake up, to connect, to listen more deeply, to make change.
And all of this so happens innately in our body and its own wisdom and its own healing.
Yes, and it's, and our bodies, thank goodness, you know, our beings always are connected. It's really whether or not we turn our attention away from that. To me, we already have everything that we need for healing. It's whether or not we stop and listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Donnie Epstein always talks about the red light, the green light, the yellow light. And it always would reiterate that the yellow light is not a green light. Yellow light is a yellow light, and it asks us to slow down and to watch and to pay attention. And the green light is a full go, and the red light is means stop. It doesn't mean run through it. It doesn't mean ignore it. It's a very simple concept. But when we actually live life where we live as if we have a yellow light sometimes, we can really live life more efficiently in a more healthy way when we just slow down and pay attention.
And what does that, in that whole process of slowing down, paying attention, is there any way you can kind of describe that? So somebody who might be experiencing it, or, you know, so I think there's sometimes when we do work that's, it's a little less tangible.
Yeah.
It's not knowing, or it's the insecurity of, am I doing this correctly? Am I hearing the right thing? Am I paying attention? You know, I think we live in a society, a culture where we're looking for that feedback, and we're trying to, especially people who really are trying to get in touch back with themselves and their inner wisdom and to listen to that. Is there any thoughts you can give that kind of help people know that they're on the right track or know what it means to be listening to their bodies?
Yes. Very often you'll feel more lucid, more clear. You'll feel rested, actually. More peace, more of a sense of awareness. Simplest ways, you know, of awareness also. Like sometimes it'll seem like the trees get greener and the flowers are more vibrant. It feels like you're coming alive when you begin to take the time to... Now, I've always called SRI an active meditation because, you know, you're not just sitting there. You're actually moving your hands in different positions on your body or in the space around you. You're focusing on a breath pattern in the nose out the mouth or in the mouth out the mouth. And you're aware that you're intending to access or engage a rhythm of consciousness that helps you to change your life. So if you come in with that intention, you obviously make great progress and you'll notice the peace, the more flexibility in your body. You'll notice just, you'll start to see the connections between things. You'll start to be seeing signs around you that'll even point back to you that there's change happening in you. So it may not just be within yourself that you notice the changes. Like initially you may know, you know, people have symptoms in their bodies. To get them to pay attention, they have all sorts of symptoms, right? And they turn the dial up to say, please stop and listen to me now. I need you to hear what I'm trying to say to you. When we do that, there's an immediate energy available. There's liberation of energy because what has been bound is trying to speak and say, please let me out. I need to express myself here in some way so that we can get back on track of a flow in life. So it may not always just be a physical symptom going away that is telling you that you're healing. It can be that you begin to see your relationships changing. You can begin to feel like, I don't want to eat that type of food anymore. I want to eat healthier. I want to add some exercise back into my life. Those are some simple ways. But you may also just notice that the things you used to do aren't drawing you anymore. They're not calling you anymore. They don't feel as fulfilling because something in you is becoming more deep and more present and more real with your life. So there's lots of different ways that you would see over time that your healing is happening through these rhythms. And sometimes your relationship people around you, your family or friends will reflect to you. You seem more calm, you seem more relaxed. So, you know, it can be an inner knowing and an outer knowing, Judy.
Nice. Yeah. So the consistent paying attention to our lives in maybe a little bit of a different way. It's interesting when you talk about the idea of talking to our body or talking about what's going on in our body. And I think of how sometimes suggestive we can be. I know from my own body, I was doing some body work and the worker was trying to teach somebody else how to do something to loosen up a place in my back. And he put his hand on my back and he says, okay, what we're going to do next is going to loosen it. You know, the goal is to allow Judy's back to relax. And then right when he said that, my back started to relax. And he said, and sometimes Judy's body, you just need to just tell it what to do and it'll do it.
Yes.
So it's interesting
exactly.
When I think of how we operate in the world and how many things come to us and how much advertising and how many, you know, judgments that we hear about ourselves every day and how much our body is probably really, really listening and we have no awareness of that.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is what he did there with you, Judy, was a form of SRI. It was a form of externally paying attention. So, you know, and as you as a person in the way that you are so lovely, you receive a lot of your energy from around you And there was this man, and he said, here's some energy here. Why not let's pay attention? And so you did. And in that moment, there was connection. Mm-hmm. So he provided a sort of SRI moment for you by being an external source of energy to pay attention, to remind you to do it within. And that is a really beautiful point to make, what you just said, because we do that in the nature that you are. You may do that all the time. You know, other people, their nature is to access more internally. Mm-hmm. And in that case, they may not take those pointers from around them in the same way for the same kinds of energy.
Mm.
So they want to find it inside themselves and look in, and that is powerful too. They're equal, you know?
Mm. And good to know that about yourself maybe too, a little bit.
Yes. Very good point. It's also nice to know that about yourself, because when you do, then you can, I mean, some of us do it naturally, mm-hmm. but some of us, if we've grown up where we really are a certain way, and then we feel that we need to conform to other people's rules or stories about our lives, we might not necessarily follow our natural way, our natural beingness. And when we do that, we can lose our course. We can lose our compass in a way. And so it's a beautiful thing to point out that, yes, we can pay better attention to where we receive energy from and how we process, you know, our environment. And that's a big part of healing as well. And that might be a whole nother podcast. But when we're dealing with how it integrates with SRI and with network care, it's really all one to me, that whenever we stop and we say, in this moment, I'm going to listen to what I'm feeling, what I've been thinking, what I've been saying, how I've been moving my body or not moving, how I've been breathing or holding my breath. All those things come together to tell us something. And we need those nuggets of wisdom. And we need them to come from us. But sometimes the world around us just shows us. And if we're listening and paying attention better, then we just say, wow, I really needed to know that right now. And there it came right in. So hopefully this podcast will be that kind of gift for some people, that right at the right time, they'll listen to this podcast and discover somatorespiratory integration, the 12 stages of healing, because to me, it's one of the most powerful gifts and tools you can have, mainly because of its simplicity, that you always have your hands with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
You always have the ability, your ability to decide to focus on yourself, to decide to take a breath. Those are all yours. You know, we don't have a whole lot of power over a whole lot else, but we have control over where we put our focused attention.
Mm-hmm.
And only we have that for ourselves. No one else can take that.
Right.
And so, you know, it's easy. You don't need a lot of stuff to carry around. Maybe,
right.
the book a little bit, the workbook a little bit initially, just to get the hang of everything. But eventually you don't have to carry that around. It becomes your life. It just weaves in to the world you live.
So that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. I know there's at least one workbook out there that takes you through it. There's two books, right? There's the workbook, and then there's a hardcover or a different book too. Is that similar?
The first book that was written is the hard or soft cover. And then the workbook is great. It's an extension of that book. And it has the 12 stages of healing grouped into the four sacred seasons of healing. And it's, which are discover, transform, awaken, and integrate seasons. And it helps you to see more how those rhythms relate to life and how they relate to using your energy more efficiently in a more healthy, joyful way. I like that book because you can open it and it stays open while you're working with it. You can look at the pictures, you can see how to do the exercise and read the declarations and things like that. So I like the workbook for when you're actually practicing. So yes, so those books are available to you.
So I'm thinking, if somebody wants to get into this, I have a couple different thoughts about this. There's the person who is like, I want to get into this. So you need some guide, you need the workbook or something that helps you understand how to do it and what you're doing. Is that something people can do kind of on their own with the workbook? They're going to have benefit. And then I'm thinking for the practitioners who do utilize this, what level or what makes sense for people? And is it something you really do need guidance for?
Well, I would always say that anyone could use this book, and they could use it even without ever even knowing what network care is, you know, and it will make a difference for them. It will change their life. It's a very powerful book, and it's a very powerful practice. And it's really wonderful to work with a network chiropractic practitioner, network care doctor, and or an SRI facilitator as well, because they're trained to facilitate or to help you move through these rhythms efficiently and in a way that helps you to maybe receive more from, maybe faster, possibly. And so it is nice to have someone who can work with you. And that's what I do often. I work in with my own patients in my own practice, but I've also created a way to work with people through FaceTime or through Skyping, or where I can see them and talk with them and guide them as well. And just provide a little guidance to how they can use them, how, you know, even the practical structural things like how often to do them, or, you know, how to be able to navigate some of the things that eventually may rise up in the process of practicing this work.
So something somebody can do on their own, but having a guide somewhere along the way just may provide that additional benefit, understanding to go with it.
Yes, and it definitely, you know, so either way, but, you know, definitely having a facilitator can help it move. It can help you to gain more from it, maybe faster, would be probably the only thing. Because if you do it by yourself, you're going to take it in your own way. You're going to give your own meaning to it or your own experience to it.
Sure.
Sometimes there are questions, and it's really nice to have someone to speak with or share with the experience, and also to ask questions to, you know, just what will happen if I do this a little differently, and how, you know, just all the little tweakings of how you could use the work.
And with the network care, does that typically come together for the training, or are there people that only do SRI separately? So somebody might only do that. So that's my first question. Then my second question is, how does it connect? It sounds like synergistically with the network chiropractic care.
Yes. Basically, at least to me, my experience, they're one experience. Except that when you're receiving a network care entrainment, as we call it, your body is laying face down on the table, not face up initially. So your first question is, can you do it basically standalone? Can you do it on your own without being entrained with a network care, network spinal analysis work?
Right.
And yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that would just be a person's choice. But once a person also receives network care and they receive the network spinal analysis and entrainment, they'll feel how they go together. They'll experience that when my spine gets more connected, my nervous system is flowing better. The awareness is easier to connect with SRI. So they basically work together like a marriage in a way. They work together in unison to increase the overall flexibility of your consciousness and your well-being.
And certainly anybody, as you've said, anybody can benefit from the work. Just in doing from my own experience, as well as from just learning more about this, I think I am really intrigued about the whole idea that it's trying to help us find a different type of care that I know one of the things I was reading was talking about sort of helping to take the load off our healthcare system that is oversaturated, really just kind of overloaded, and help us find our own way to do what we can for ourselves. And, you know, it's a much more kinder, gentler therapy than many other things if we can avoid them.
Exactly. It's an excellent point, Judy. Gosh, it's always been my hope of 30 years of practice that more and more people in the world will experience this work or some work similar to it that helps them to pay attention sooner. Because a lot of times the overload, like you said, in the medical field or in the world where people are very ill, is oftentimes because they haven't listened for a long time. And so eventually their body gives them a sign or a signal that says, you've ignored me here for too long. And now we're here. So can you imagine a world where people are sensing their physical body, how it's moving, what it needs, giving it to it, giving it, now I feel like I need this type of food, or now I need less food, or I could get more rest, sleep, I can drink more water, you know, the simple, basic physical things, mm-hmm. listening to the organs, how is my body working, and, you know, you're taking your healing, your restoring of yourself in your own hands, and not waiting. That one thing could create such a change in the overload, as you say, mm-hmm. because the overload is very full of people who did not recognize sooner,
right,
that they could be a part of their healing process, that they are not separate from their health, that their emotions they feel, the thoughts they think, you know, the experiences they have, they all have something to do with how the physical body ends up experiencing life. Mm-hmm. The soul, I want to mention as well, the soul really wants to guide us. It doesn't want to work so hard to cut through all these mental limitations and all these emotional baggage that we have, a lot of us. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the emotions are great for a reason. We have them for a reason. We don't have them just for random waste of energy as a drain. We have them to help us make change, instantaneous change, so that one, we're protecting our nervous system and our body, and two, though, to create progress, to go forward, to create movement in life. Mm-hmm. And to do something different that's actually healthier. So these emotions are good things. They don't always feel great. Right? But yes. when we listen and honor them as sacred, they're sacred messengers. They help us to make the changes we need to make. And so, yes, it could create such a great change. That's why I continue to just share this as much as I can to people, because I do work with a lot of people who are experiencing the exhaustion of, we just kind of lived as if there was no tomorrow. We just didn't, you know, which can be great, you know, enjoy your life. But mm-hmm. if you just ignore things and ignore them, and it builds and builds and builds, and then all of a sudden you got quite a lot to deal with there.
Right.
And I don't know. I think we're more intelligent. I feel that we have all these levels of intelligence in us to guide us to the most joyful life we can.
Right. Live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And I think, again, it goes back a little bit to, we live in a society and a culture that tells us a lot of things and what to do. And its goal is not our goal. Its goal is to get us to do what the companies or the system wants us to do, and that doesn't really care for us as an individual. And this is one of those tools that we can use to, like you say, to take care of our own individual health and care in a way that resonates with us that we can maybe feel a little bit powerful in.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And that's such a great thing to say, because when you take care of you and you're really, it's not that you ignore other people or anything, or that you don't care.
Right.
Of course we care. We have compassion. We love people. But if we don't love ourselves and really tend and care for ourselves, we really have nothing left to give. And so when we do that first, actually what's amazing, by the mere fact that we're all connected, it does affect the world. It doesn't always help to think of it in those terms when we're just trying like to get our bearings with our own self. And it can feel heavy or like, oh, and I got the whole world. No, it's not how it works. It just so happens that when you do take care of yourself and love yourself, you're instantly loving the world because you're not separate. And so you don't really have to do anything except really pay attention to you and how you are being more aware, awake, and alive. How you're using your energy and how you can resource and create more flexibility. And that is the gift of the network spinal analysis and somatorespiratory integration, is that their marriage, that relationship, is profound in helping us liberate the energy that we are and really see it, and not to hide our light under a bushel, but to let it shine. And it doesn't always happen overnight, but sometimes it does. Why not? You know, it can happen just instantaneously. And every time I work with someone, I'm reminded of the power of that. I was able to work with you recently, which was wonderful.
It was.
And many people. Yes. And it always just strengthens my absolute trust in this work, that no matter how simple you apply this practice, it always makes a change for the better for someone.
Like you say, it's interesting in the whole being able to listen to ourselves and honor what ourself is saying. I'm thinking of when you were saying the whole idea that sometimes it's the noticing the little things of, I need to drink more water, or I don't need this food anymore, or those kinds of things, that they really can pop up in that, oh my gosh, I really feel this way. I really don't care about this thing, or I really am able to let this go. And to be able to honor that and listen to ourselves and kind of get out of the, I don't know how to explain this well, but sort of I think about it as I work with many people and things they talk about, with the sort of entitlement as opposed to letting entitlement override. And I think about this from a couple separate conversations I've had recently with people about cake.
Let's talk about the cake entitlement thing.
And the whole like, I'm at this event, they're serving cake, I don't even want the cake. I feel like I'm at a place, I'm doing good, I don't even want it. But part of my brain says, and other in the environment around me says, but just, you can have a little bit, you can have a piece of cake. It's fine. It's a celebration. Have cake. And one person in particular, she's like, I was completely going against what my body wanted to eat this piece of cake. She said, I didn't want it. I didn't care. But I found myself, because I felt so judged by the environment around me, that I didn't listen to my own body that said, you can let the cake go. Just let it go. Somebody else can either enjoy the cake or not. And that's completely fine. And this internal fight. And it's so interesting, because it is being able to pay attention to that and know that's worth a lot to us, to be able to hear us.
It's worth so much. I want to clap, but I know it might be too loud for the podcast, but I want to clap for you, because you listened, and I really want to make this, bring this out, because what you said is so beautiful from that you weren't denying yourself. You weren't like limiting yourself. You actually were making that decision out of more energy.
Oh, for the story I was telling was about somebody else, but explain.
Oh, yeah. Well, whoever made that decision, it was about, the decision was from a higher energy state in themselves. It wasn't about wanting to make their energy state lower or diminish it, you know?
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And so what's powerful about that, what you said, is that there's also more energy every time you make a decision that you know is aligned with yourself versus succumbing to the judgment of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful because it happens hundreds of times a day, you know, if we were actually look at it, where you're doing something and people can like or not like it. They can try to change you from that. They can try to conform you, or you can do it in your own mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes a lot of energy.
To conform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even just to, you know, work inside your own head of like your mind, literally, fighting, you know, but my feeling and my energy says this is, you know, not necessary. I can drop this. I can let this go. So whether right. it's cake or whether it's a relationship or whether it's a job or whether it's a thought form that you run around in your head every day or an emotion that you perpetuate, whatever it is, if it's, you know, it's all equal to cake. It's, if your energy is high and flowing and flexible, you make decisions that match that energy state. And the more energized state you have, the less you care about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel more liberated and you feel freer and guided and sustained and supported by the world around you. So I would just say that was such a great thing that you brought up with the cake. Because
yeah.
cake is just a metaphor for everything. You choose when you're in a great state of flow and you just know you just got to do what you got to do. And everybody will align or realign with that choice. So that's why it's important. If you're making low energy decisions, you know, everybody feels that too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making high energy decisions, it's great because everybody's going up with you.
Mm, right. Well, and people see that, and that transition might be hard for them and for you a little bit. But yeah. after a while, other people are like, yeah, I don't need the cake either. And they yeah. feel empowered to not take the cake because, well, you know, and pretty soon it just becomes a whatever. You can have cake or you can not have cake. Nobody really cares.
Right. And then at some point in time, you know, in the awakened state, you know, in the free state of soul energy, you can have that cake and it turns into pure light.
Mm.
You know, because of that place, everything is transmuted. Everything is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can eat 10 cakes a day or anything like that. But in that state, wouldn't do that.
Right.
You might take two bites and turn it into like, oh, just divine healing, you know?
Right. Right. It becomes sort of soul food, but not soul overindulgence.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Definitely soul food. I love soul food. So yes, exactly. Exactly. There's so many levels to speak about this from.
Right. Well, it just sounds like from what I am gaining understanding from and my experience in this work is, you know, it's an embryo. But that there's just so much and there's so far that it can be taken, but starting at the beginning. So there's a question. If somebody is wanting to do this, is this something, you talked about the 12 stages, is this something that you always are going to start at the beginning, or is this you kind of look and see where you fit within those 12 stages?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. It's sort of like playing the piano or an instrument, learning a language. Mm-hmm. You learn the basics. You learn the basics first, because then from those basics, you can play anything, you know, you have the skills and the know-how. And so I always do suggest, you know, starting at the beginning, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, and practicing them and knowing how they feel and making sure that you have a practice. But I also know that when you're doing that initial learning process, it helps sometimes, you know, with the book, to just read the little descriptions of each rhythm and say, yeah, I've felt that way before, or I really feel that way right now. And that can be an excellent way to approach it, is if you're feeling really, really ready for something in life, and you read the stage six chapter and you do the stage six energy, and it, and you say, yeah, I really resonate with that right now. I feel that. Yes, go ahead and do that rhythm for a few moments and connect with that rhythm. It will support you. But it is also important to have a foundation of to land on, like a landing pad, so to speak. It's important to have the ability to be able to go back to square one if necessary. Or two or three, and they say, yes, here I am. I know where I am. I'm connected. I'm at peace. I feel free. I don't feel stuck. And then what other information can I add in? What other energies can I add in? But I always also suggest to people who are already really working in life toward waking up and intention and flexibility that they can peruse all 12 of those rhythms, and they can go, wow, which one do I really like plug into? Because certain people have easier access to certain places of intelligence. So if someone reads something and say, yeah, that really feels like me right now, and they're really with that, they can just do it for a couple moments. And the great thing about this work is that if you're in that rhythm, or that rhythm's wanting to be accessed, you know, you will connect with it right away or not. You can't like continue for moment, you know, long time. And if it's just not the rhythm, it's just not going to feel like it connects. But when it's ready to connect, it will absolutely be instantaneous, or at least even within a few moments.
And if somebody is the work that they're doing in the workbook and help them to know when to go on to the next stage, I'm thinking that might be a question that somebody might have in this process of, will the work will inform them of when to move forward?
Yes, absolutely. And there's lots of ways to tell about that. I mean, you can just go methodically through the book, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you will start to feel how they're moving in you, and in your life, you'll start to see them working. You'll see the result of it. So you can either just say, well, I've done 3, now I'm going to do 4, or done 5 and I'm going to do 6. You can just do it that way. But sometimes you'll notice that you'll feel it organically in yourself that, you know, I did that rhythm, and now when I look at this one, I feel ready for that one. You will, you know, it's direct information that you get when you listen to yourself, when you're practicing these rhythms. You get the immediate response in yourself of like, okay, I feel complete with that in this moment. And then the next time you go to it, you may start it over again, stage one again, or you might start over again at the rhythms you've been doing. Okay. But then you may add in to your repertoire. You may add another rhythm into the repertoire. Let's try this one this time. Mm-hmm. But also, sometimes you'll just hear, you'll sense things you are thinking or things you're feeling, or you'll notice what you're saying, how you're behaving, how you're acting. Mm-hmm. And when you see those things, they are real tellers of, they're mirrors, they're reflectors to you of what rhythm you might want to connect with. So if you're walking around every day feeling very judgmental of yourself or others, or you're feeling low energy, but you're angry and you're blaming and things like that, you may look at that and say, wow, that would be a stage 2 rhythm. Maybe I could lay down and connect with stage 2 rhythm and start to see more peace coming in, start to see more a different conversation.
Okay.
So you'll notice by the way you're living. And if you have enough information from reading and connecting with these rhythms and talking about them with people, you'll go, wow, look at that. I might feel really, or you might even notice yourself saying, gosh, I feel so stuck here. Mm-hmm. Or you might notice yourself saying, enough of this. Or I'm so ready, or I'm completely done with this. I'll never do this again. You know, you might notice yourself reorganizing all your drawers and closets. Okay. Cleaning things. You might notice just feeling completely empty and in bliss at times in a meditation or something, completely at peace. You may notice yourself working for hours and hours in loving service and giving and receiving gifts and not being tired at all. Mm-hmm. That might be more of a stage 11 rhythm, for example. Feeling yourself immersed in community, stage 12. So there's such profound ranges that come. And I always just want to say it doesn't need to take a long time. It's really just about how ready your soul is, how you hear your inner timing as to really wanting to enjoy life more. Because really, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. To enjoy it and to love it and to love others. And this work helps that process of self-love. And it helps to increase our compassion for others, which is so much of what we need in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm glad you addressed kind of the time aspect, because that was going to be one of my questions of kind of how, you know, if somebody's committing to this, mm-hmm. what does that mean? And what I'm hearing is that it's about learning, but then when you kind of learn it or do it or can reference it and know how to reference it, it's about getting into that space, practicing that experience or that breathing and that rhythm, and then going from there.
Right. And then at some point when you've done them a couple hundreds times, you integrate that into your experience of life so that it becomes the way you live in life. It actually weaves into your being, how you're being in life. Mm. And then life becomes an accurate reflector, a mirror of what is happening inside of you. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to see things more clearly, you can say, wow, I can see now that this rhythm at this time might be really helpful to me. It's not as if you do them all the time. Stage 1, 2, and 3, you know, the first three are really just about where am I and am I present and connecting and am I not limiting myself or judging? And that's essential for every day of your life. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, 4 through 12, you know, they're not ones that you would necessarily do every day of your life. They're rhythms that help you to make progress, to make change, to transform your life. And they help you through these portals, these gateways, these turning points. And they help you support this change, life change. Mm-hmm. And it's not for just for change's sake. It's actually to reorganize your life to a healthier level mm-hmm. of consciousness, which is actually more efficient and more healthy overall. And you know, it's not like you learn it and then you put down the book and then you're done. If right. you really, really experience it as it is, this work becomes your life. And then it becomes a reference that you use when you need to support flow. Mm-hmm. So it's a lifetime thing.
Right. And I'm thinking how cool that is. You know, we all need tools and we talk about things that we do for our health every day. And this is just one of those options that we have to grab onto and take with us. And I'm thinking, what for people who, I mean, like we've said, this work can benefit anybody, but I'm thinking for people who struggle maybe, and you can tell me if this is right thinking or not, people who might struggle with meditation, the whole sitting down, clearing the mind. For some people, that's a really hard and almost intimidating thing to do. Yeah. Where I'm thinking this kind of provides a structure and it gives us something to look for and do and partake in, like you said, an active meditation.
Yes, absolutely. I think it would be powerful for people if they are struggling with meditation. And that wouldn't mean that they would give up meditation. It would mean that this work would help them to find the ability to quiet the mind mm-hmm. and to find the peaceful alignment of a sitting practice. It can help anyone. I mean, I've worked with SRI with children of every age. and elder people, people who their mind is going, they have dementia. You know, at any age, there can be struggles to focus and have peace in the body, in the being. And so this work is so simple because it doesn't need to take a long time. It can take 2 seconds. You can be at a red light, take one hand to your chest, take a breath, one hand to your belly, take a breath, and you're already more connected than you were 5 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be very brief, but very globally shift you.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely for people who do like movement in waking up, this can be a great one because there is a lot of movement in the transform rhythms. There can be a lot of movement in some of the awaken rhythms. There can be a lot of movement in the discover rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And that is engagement. It's about, you know, when we engage our body, we engage our life, we engage our rib cage to move, our lungs to fill, you know, our heart to pump. And our hands are moving, our legs are moving, our arms are moving, everything's engaged.
Right.
So that you realize that you're not separate from how you move in the space around you. So it can be very helpful for people with that kind of thing.
And one of the other things that I'm thinking about too is from my experience being in the room with you and doing this and being in the room with Lara and doing this. There's like, it's an amazing kind of power and synergy that comes there in that experience. Do you have any tips for people who are doing this, whether they're doing it alone without a practitioner or even just between those visits of whoever is supporting them or if they're working with you, that they can do to help bring kind of the power into that space or help them with that?
Yes. Yes, I do. I like tips. I would say initially it would be to practice a little bit every day, even if it's just for a couple of moments, to put your hands to your body and ask, how are you doing today? To listen in, even if you have no clue, I don't know where to put my hands. I don't know what the breath pattern is. Just every day, bring your hands to your body somewhere and take a breath and begin to listen, because already that will begin a dialogue with your brain, your frontal lobe, to say, I actually want to know how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will strengthen that muscle. And so that would be the primary thing.
Okay.
So, and then also if, you know, having the book around you or even writing down on a little piece of paper that you carry around in your purse or your wallet or something where it says, these are all the rhythms. This is how you breathe in those rhythms. And then you kind of have an idea of what each one looks like or something.
Mm-hmm.
That way, wherever you are, whenever you need to, you can access one of those rhythms. So you have it available, because usually things don't work so much for us when they're tucked away on the bookshelf or,
right.
You know, we never just make them accessible to life. But if you have it with you, you might just actually sit down in a bookstore or, you know, you might actually lay down in the park outside on a break and use that time to love yourself with awareness. Did that answer the question?
Yes, it did. I think it did anyway.
Okay.
I think it helps people get there, and I think just the little tools of how to use it and bring it to themselves, I think, is important.
I think it's, you know, if you're working with a facilitator and a practitioner, they will also recommend to you how often to do these kinds of things. Some people really like the structure of that. Some, they like to know, yeah, and initially it really does help to have someone say, do these rhythms every day for a week, you know, because you do, it's like I said, learning an instrument or something or language, you got to practice. It's not going to get in there if you don't practice and repeat. how? And then eventually it will become that, oh my gosh, you're just being that.
Right.
And realizing when you could be more in flow, and then picking and choosing a rhythm that helps you to get more into a flow. That's the powerful point of this, is that you realize, I don't have to wait for life to bring to me, to push me, to shove me in the direction I need to go. I can actually decide. Mm-hmm. You know, I can actually participate and make change now.
Right.
With spirit's help, of course. I mean, in my experience, we're not alone on that. We have all sorts of help, seen and unseen. But you don't have to wait till life rocks your world to make the change. You can make it now.
Very proactive.
Yes.
And a simple proactive option, which is really nice.
Yes, and it's easier that way.
Right, right. It's easier to have it become a fabric of our life if it's simple and helpful and easy.
I think so. I mean, what's simpler than breathing in and out? You don't even need to think.
Right, right. But we're already doing it. It's just a little enhancement.
That's right. It's an enhancement, but the enhancement comes from that part of your brain that says, I'm here now. I'm not in 20 years ago, or I'm not in being 5 years old. I'm not in next week. I'm right here. I'm right here. And there, that's where the power is.
Right. Working with the present and where we're at right then.
Yes. Yeah. You know, which quickly then is the next second. So really, what is presence? And it's even beyond presence.
So the book is definitely a tool. Is there any source of like audio recording or tools that people might also access to support them as they're doing this?
Yes. Well, I know that Donald Epstein has his Wise World Seminars is the company that used to sell the books and, you know, would have the audio tapes and things like that. So I do believe that's still possible on their website to purchase things like that. But then there's also, just talking with you, I'm thinking, gosh, and people have told me to make them for years and I haven't done it yet, but maybe it's time to make them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know that, you know, there are people here and there. Even Donnie, I think, is on YouTube and available for some of the, you know, the initial talks about the 12 stages of healing, you know, where it's a basic overview and things like that.
Okay.
But it hasn't gotten the press that it needs, that it deserves, really.
Mm-hmm.
It might start to be getting that now, but it hasn't been for as long as I've been teaching it. And so there really isn't a whole lot, but I do believe they sell audio tapes.
Okay. I'm just thinking that could be another support for someone to sort of have somebody help guide them a little bit in those between times or to get started. So, yeah. Yes,
completely. And then another thing might be to say that the practitioner that they see for network care, SRI, will also have the contacts to provide those things for them. So if they are working with someone, they can get a hold of those things. But yeah, that's what exists at the moment, I believe.
Okay. Well, let's talk about in Duluth, Minnesota, where I'm at and where you were last week. Thank you very much for coming and introducing yourself to all of us. It was fantastic. We have Dr. Laura Hill, who has been on the podcast previously, talked about network care, and she is actively looking to integrate this into her practice here. So that's kind of an option for us Duluthians, perhaps. But yes. I want to know whatever you want to share with people contacting you, if they want to maybe work with you, learn more, how they find people in their area who might be doing this. Is that something you would act as a resource for?
Yes, absolutely. I can give you my phone number. You can go to the joyfullifecenter.com website, but you can also reach me at 608-632-0725 for personal sessions, for Skype or FaceTime sessions with me.
Okay,
but in addition to that, Dr. Laura Hill has an office there in Duluth, Minnesota, and she is looking to invite an SRI facilitator to work with her. And I believe one of the interested people is a woman that I taught a long time ago as well. I've worked with her. So hopefully that will happen. But Dr. Lara can also provide some of this work with people as well.
And like you said, you work with people one-on-one, so you're available. Mm-hmm. And from my experience working with you, it was definitely fun and fantastic and powerful. So I
thank you.
I can speak to that.
It was wonderful to work with you. I mean, you're just so available and ready and participating with yourself and your life. It makes everything easy.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited to put this out in the world and see who can benefit. I think it's, you know, so many people are looking, we're looking for things that we can do that don't have to be complicated, but get us in touch with ourselves. And we're not encouraged by that from the typical medical system in many cases.
You know? Yes, exactly. Or even in the culture. The culture is everything's
yes.
fast, everything's complex, and everything is supposed to be conceptually cool, you know? And this is very simple.
Right.
It's you can't get any more simple, but in my term, you know, when it's most simple, it's most profound. So I encourage all of you out there listening to really find one of these books, The 12 Stages of Healing by Dr. Donald Epstein and a practitioner of NSA Care, so that you can begin this amazing realignment in your life and really living the way you want to live, lining up and loving it.
Well, yeah, accessing what is out there for us and figuring out what that is with simple tools is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Thank you so much again for your time and for being available and for all the work that you are doing for putting out into the world.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Before we send you on your way, I want to talk about how to connect with Susan and get the books if you would like to check those out further. So if you want to work with Susan in person, FaceTime, Skype, over the phone, or to do a seminar with you or your retreat, you can contact Dr. Susan Gullion. That's G-U-L-L-I-O-N. And her website is joyfullifecenter.com. And you can reach her via phone at 608-632-0725. She practices in Milwaukee and Viroqua, Wisconsin, as well as Minneapolis, and soon again to be relocating to Massachusetts. If you're wanting to check out the two books that Susan mentions, there's a couple ways you can do that. If you are in Duluth, you can contact Lara Hill at 218-464-6673 or email her at info@larahilldc.com. Both Susan and Lara will help you find someone in your area. If you're outside of these areas, you can also go to wiseworldseminars.com and click on shop and you will see the two books there. And as mentioned by Susan, Dr. Lara in Duluth is looking to add this more into her practice. So connect up with her via email or Facebook. Stay in the loop of what's happening here. All right, that brings us to the end of another podcast. Keep listening. I've got some really cool stuff coming up. I so desperately want to like talk about what's coming up next, but at the same time, if production schedule changes or something weird happens, I hate to sort of like throw that out there until I absolutely know it's like totally done. Anyway, thank you so much, Susan. Thank you so much for listening. I absolutely appreciate you for taking your time with us. Share this information with your friends, anybody who you think might benefit from it. Your sharing is what gets it out into the world and into the hands of people who need it. Check out the other podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You're going to see all of them listenable right there. You can just press play and listen to all the topics that excite you. Go ahead to iTunes and subscribe there. And also on the website at wellnessrenpodcast.com, you can opt in for an email. And all we do is send you out an email, let you know what the title and the information about the podcast is, send you a link, and you can click play. So it's super easy. You don't have to remember to go to the podcast page. You can just have it come right to you once a week to your email box. If you like what we do, please consider, if you are an Amazon shopper, to support the podcast by going to the website, click on the support the podcast page. You'll see a bunch of items and books listed from other podcasts that we've done. You can click on any one of those. You do not need to purchase whatever it is that you click on, but whatever you do purchase that day, that shopping trip, a very tiny portion, not an extra cost to you, but a portion of your actual sale will go to support the podcast. Thank you so much for those of you who have taken the few extra clicks and done that. If you're on Facebook, I invite you to connect and contribute at the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page, which is facebook.com/wellnessren. That's wellness, R-E-N. Until next time, here is to you finding the pieces that fit and make a little bit more complete your health and wellness puzzle. Take care.